Well, I'd like to thank you for hanging in there for this last presentation. And I'm here to talk about equal access to electroconvulsive therapy. I'm an advocate for having equal access to ECT. And what I'm sharing with you today is an extensive literature review of ECT. And then, as you can see, I myself am also a patient of ECT. So I will share my personal experience. And I have no conflicts of interest to present, although this presentation was allowed for by a research grant from TCU, Texas Christian University. Equal access to mental health services and to ECT becomes a social justice issue because access to ECT is hampered by income attitudes and availability of the service. The efficacy of ECT for depression is particularly important when medications have failed. Meta-analysis shows that ECT is 4 times as likely to be effective as compared to medication therapy. ECT is also used to treat mania. And among 11 randomized clinical trials, the response rate to ECT ranged from 33% to 100%. And the cost of this treatment is less expensive than is rehospitalization. Only 21 treatment centers in Texas are available for ECT. And in my own city of Fort Worth, there's only one. Reimbursement rates are very low for many psychiatrists who do not use ECT. In other words, I think since the reimbursement levels are so low, that's a reason that they don't practice ECT. And also the fact that outpatient ECT is not reimbursed by Medicaid. Less than 8% of psychiatrists actually practice ECT. So how is ECT performed? Initially, ECT is performed several times weekly, and then it goes to weekly for a total of 6 to 4 times. And if the patient may complete therapy at that time or may need maintenance therapy of receiving the treatments every 4 to 12 weeks. The treatment does require anesthesia, and so the pre-treatment procedures are quite extensive, which include a complete history and physical, require an EKG and EEG, and your anti-seizure medications need to be held, and atropine IM is given to decrease the oral secretions, and then an IV is started. When you actually go in the treatment room to receive the treatment, you have a baseline EEG given and an EKG. And then blood pressure and oxygen saturation is measured. And then a bite block is inserted and 100% oxygen is given. The last thing you remember before the treatment is that they've given you anesthesia, which burns in your IV. Then once the person is anesthetized, they apply paddles either bilaterally or unilaterally, and the charge is administered. It produces a grand mal seizure, which lasts 30 seconds to 60 seconds. And the next thing you know as the patient is that you're waking up in the treatment room. There's certainly possible side effects of ECT. Headaches are the most common one. And the Usual treatment for that is Ketorolac, and the headaches usually go away within a few hours. Muscle soreness can also be a significant problem. I had one episode of that where it lasted about 2 days, and it felt like I had the flu. So in future treatment sessions, they've always given me Toradol, and I've never had that problem again. Mania, which I forgot to list on this slide, is probably the most difficult symptom that I have had occur in that in the period of time that I was on medication therapy, I had very few mania episodes, but since I started on ECT, I have quite frequent mania episodes. But quite frankly, experiencing mania is very easy to tolerate since Zyprexa is such a quick fix for mania. And when you're depressed, you got to wait a long time for those antidepressants to kick in, and then maybe they don't even work. Memory loss is another problem that I've had, but it's only been as extensive as not remembering I've been to a certain restaurant or that I went to a concert by the Moody Blues or something like that. Other people experience significant memory loss, like forgetting significant past experience like births or deaths of family members. ECT has been a miracle in my life. I was diagnosed with bipolar disease 12 years ago, and I was in the hospital at that time with full-blown mania. And then for 8 years, I was successfully treated with medication therapy and had no periods of depression. But then for 4 years, I started experiencing severe and more severe depression, with the last depressive episode lasting 6 months. And to tell you the truth, it was like a hell. It was like being in a deep, deep dark hole with no way out and not really caring whether there was a way out. I didn't have the energy to take care of myself, not the energy to brush my teeth, get dressed, let alone do anything important in life. So when I started to receive ECT treatments, first of all, I had to request them and get a referral to another doctor. And I've been seeing this psychiatrist for 8 years and for 4 more years, and she'd never suggested ECT to me, but I had to seek it out, so I did that. And after receiving 3 treatments, it was like a light bulb went on. It was like I felt like the old Pat of like 20 years prior. It was an absolute miracle for me, and it has remained so. I have been receiving ECT treatments for 2 years. I've not had one depressive episode since that time. And although I experienced the periodic mania episodes, I am a very happy camper. In the Dallas-Fort Worth area, ECT treatment centers, 450 people received ECT in 2008. And when you look at the distribution by race, you notice that there really is a social justice issue. Whereas 63% of the population in the Metroplex is Caucasian, 95% of the patients who receive ECT are white. Whereas 18% of the population is African American, only 3% of the recipients of ECT are African American. And whereas 33% or 34% of the population is Hispanic, only 2% of the population that received ECT is Hispanic. When you look at utilization, no ECT is available in 1/3 of cities. So certainly there is an access problem. Variation in ECT ranges from 0.4 to 81.2 per 10,000 population. So vast alterations or variations in ECT, in ECT delivery. And the strongest predictors of ECT use were the number of psychiatrists, the number of primary care physicians, number of private hospital beds per capita, and the stringency of state regulations for ECT, which are extremely strict and require lots of reporting mechanisms. Why ECT is not more widely used? One might be the cost. The cost of ECT is more expensive than medication therapy. However, it is less expensive than constant rehospitalizations. Attitudes towards ECT is certainly a barrier. First of all, those attitudes held by the public are quite archaic and are still similar to what One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was portraying. In terms of professionals, there are many nurses and many psychiatrists who are never trained in electroconvulsive therapy. I know we have a program, a residence program in Fort Worth now that in psychiatry, that those residents never see ECT. And certainly how ECT is portrayed in the media is a concern. And even bipolar disorder is of major concern because people with bipolar disorder on TV shows are in full-blown mania with psychotic features, and that's not what bipolar disease is all about. And the poor referral rate from psychiatrists is certainly of issue. I don't know if they just want to keep their patients because not many of them are doing ECT or what the issue is. They don't want to admit that what they're prescribing didn't work, or I don't know. They don't believe in it themselves. The benefits outweigh the cost. The lifetime suicide rate for bipolar patients is a whopping 20%. For major depression patients, it's 9%. And depression is a leading cause of disability, is the leading cause of disability in this country. So depression is taking a huge toll on individuals, but also on families and also our country. ECT offers opportunity for the improvement of quality of life, to decrease suicide ideation, to decrease the need for many medications. I've been able to go off 2 antidepressants, and the last one that I take is I only take half a dose, so that's been a miracle in itself. So decreased need for medications, increased ability to maintain employment and avoid rehospitalization and its costs. So how can ECT be promoted? One is changes in education for nurses, physicians, and counselors, since the physicians and the counselors are the ones who refer for the treatment. Changes in attitudes toward ECT, promotion of adequate Medicaid reimbursement for psychiatrists in general, and increased publicity about ECT. And patients like myself and psychiatrists who have successful experiences with ECT need to stand up like I'm doing today and talk about that experience. So lives will be saved if ECT can be made accessible on an equal basis. Thank you.